Trudy and Jim, CSX cast in Friday morning. Good time to talk about the roller coaster of love.
We got a badass Cedar Point one this year, yeah.
So Tony Clark is joining us from Cedar Point.
What's up, Tony?
Hello.
Hey, Tony. I'm born and raised in Sandusky, Ohio, so Cedar Point was my second home.
Awesome.
Literally was my home for 1 year because for a long time ago, they used to rent out the winter housing to students. So
we got to
live at Cedar Point.
That was before my time.
Yeah, right. We had to clear out by the time that your season began, though, so that we had to find something to do in May, which is when Cedar Point opens, May 7th.
Very interesting.
Right on. I'm all excited right about this season. So you've got...
Me too.
Yeah, you got a new monster roller coaster from hell.
Val Rain looks awesome. And then the drone video you guys did, that's one of the coolest pieces of production I've seen in a long time. That's awesome, man.
Isn't it neat? Shows off the scale of it for sure.
Yeah. So tell us, I mean, the scope of this roller coaster, though, because even when you're looking at the video, you're trying to get a perspective on just how massive this damn thing is.
Yeah, I mean, this is the tallest, fastest, and longest dive coaster in the world. So it's 223 feet tall, and it's one of five roller coasters at the park that's over 200 feet tall, and no other park in the world has that kind of collection. So it's very unique to Cedar Point, very unique to our area. But this thing is just massive, and it towers over the Midway. And the key signature thing about this ride is that it simulates a dive straight down at 90 degrees. So the whole purpose of this is to hold you over the edge of the top at 223 feet, and then release you after 4 seconds, and then lets you dive and do some aerobatic maneuvers before coming back into the station. So it's massive. It's something we've never had at the park, and it's one of only three of these types of coasters in North America, which is also a big deal for our area as well.
I guess. Zero Gs or no? Or
there will be very, very very delicious moments of what we call airtime.
Weightlessness?
Where they're actually negative, and you float out of your seat a little bit.
So whoa. Those are,
it's a really cool feeling, but there will also be some positive Gs when you're pushed into your seat.
Positive Gs.
Very, very smooth experience, though. Very safe. The seats are very comfortable. They're similar to our Gatekeeper roller coaster, so it's never been done on this type of coaster before. And the trains are unique too, in that you sit eight people across. So
oh.
Eight people can actually ride in the front row, which is very unique, and they will all get the terrifying view of being hung there at the top for 4 seconds before they plummet.
And you get to go down at the bottom and get the picture, the photo of everyone's faces smashed back with the
it's always a good look.
You call it positive G's, which is another
positive
way of saying
G's.
Yeah, the crushing sensation of gravity.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this ride is you can actually stand right next to that drop. So if you're not a rider and it's not your thing, the best part about our rides at the park is that they're interactive for people who don't ride. So you can stand off to the side. You can watch your friends, your family, your loved ones take that dive and get some really cool pictures literally right next to the Midway. And that's what's really cool about this particular ride is anywhere you stand on the Midway around it, you're going to get really cool views of people having a good time and of course, the screams and terror. Well.
Hey, Tony, in Detroit, we have a lot of the automotive spies. You know, the people take the long-distance shots of the testing grounds and stuff. Do you have the same thing when you guys build something like this? Do other companies and parks try to send in people to figure out how the hell you did it?
Well, that's interesting, and I kind of compare it to the automotive industry. You know, every company, just like Apple, everyone's got secrets that they don't want to reveal, right? So we work with manufacturers undercover, and these projects really are planned 2 to 3 years in advance. So we met with the manufacturer years ago and said, hey, we want to build something really cool, something really big that's never been done at Cedar Point before, and if it's world record-breaking, that's not bad either. And so they come back to us and say, here's what we have in our arsenal, here's what we can provide for you in the area that you're requesting, and they give us designs, proposals, we go back and forth, make some tweaks until we finally have a design, and then when we're ready to publicly announce it, then you see all of the details about the ride. But, you know, in this day and age, keeping a secret becomes increasingly hard, especially with technology. We don't really have spies per se, but you know, when you're working with many different trades and people in these projects, you know, they sometimes you just get too excited and someone lets something out. We don't like that, but sometimes it happens, and that's just, we just got to roll with it.
Tony, you had the video of this out. I think it was end of last season, possibly?
Yeah.
So when did you start building it?
So we actually produced a computer animation prior to the announcement. So mm-hmm. we have all the technical drawings. So we make a computer rendering of it, so that you can see what it looks like in motion. And we started building probably in the fall in September, where we began to pour the concrete footers in the ground. So that when the park closed, then we could start putting up the steel of the ride. So it's been going on. It just actually wrapped up a few days ago. We put the last piece of track in, and so now a bunch of other trades are getting to work on electrical and building the on-ride photo building, the station, the computer that runs the ride is going to be put in today. So there's lots of little things that need to happen, even though it looks complete.
So do you need beta testers, people who will volunteer to ride it until you get all the bugs out? 'Cause
that would be me. So the best part about the job is that the manufacturer does all the testing, much like a car manufacturer does. They kick the tires, they go through all their tests and see what works and what doesn't. They make minor adjustments, and as soon as the manufacturer is happy with the way it runs, then we get a phone call and select few are invited to come and take that first ride. And then after that, we just run it and run it and run it until the park opens, to break in the system and learn of anything that might come up, so that when our guests come, they don't have to wait very long, and we've solved all of our technical questions, and it's ready to go.
So, Tony, then afterwards, you take your friends out to dinner, and you just try to see how many times you can work in that you rode that roller coaster to the conversation.
It is the best part, is bragging about it. And with social media, that makes it even better. But I tell people all the time, working here, I never take it for granted, because there's no other place like it, number one. And number two, these things are way bigger in person. And Valraven is huge in person. Pictures do not do it justice. The aerial video we just released does give you a sense of how it fits in the landscape and how tall it really is. But when you just don't know how amazing this thing is until you're standing right underneath it. It's pretty cool. And to be able to brag about that and tell my friends, yeah, I was the first to ride that, it is pretty awesome. But there are a lot of our guests, this whole summer will be the first time they get to experience this ride. And that's also exciting for us, too.
So Valraven is a bird. Is that a real bird? Is it named after, or is this a mythical creature you guys created?
Well, we didn't create the actual Valraven. The creature itself is a mythical creature. So if you look up, if you search it online, you'll see many different definitions. But for us, we've kind of catered the bird character to our needs, and it's the king of dive coasters. Wow. Is really what it is. And so this bird is taller and faster and longer than any other dive coaster on Earth. It towers over them. It rules over them. And so you're going to see that king, that royal, that castle type theming and feel to the ride, including with the logo. It kind of looks Game of Thronesy. Huh. And that was intentional, because that's the kind of character we developed. So it's not taking things literally. It's like taking what it is, but then twisting it and turning it into how it fits at a place here like Cedar Point.
So when are you going to get the roller coaster that goes most of the way to space?
The Virgin Atlantic roller coaster.
You have to one-up each other all around the world, and I assume that's coming.
Oh, yeah. The biggest question we always get is, when will you build the 500-foot-tall roller coaster? Mm. And I tell people all the time, so if we could just build anything we wanted to, we would. But steel is very, very, very expensive. And as a business, we have to get that return on our investment. So to build 500 feet, A, it takes up a lot of room, because you have to spread out, how long it takes to get up to the 500 feet. Mm-hmm. But then, what do you do after you get to the top? Does it go, for a very long time? If it was a short ride, it might not be that exciting. So there's many considerations to that. It'll come when we have an everlasting budget. How's that?
Ah, okay. Hey, I had another question, though, about when you troubleshoot a ride, are there particular things you're looking for? Like, for instance, remember the rotor? I mean, that's long gone from Cedar Point, but it was this thing that spun you around. It's the principle of centrifugal force. And and then you're suspended in the air. The floor drops away. That was the biggest throw-up machine ever. So are there particular things that you discover after beta testing again and again about certain rides, like it throws people's necks out or something like that?
So here's the cool thing about our testing, is that all this stuff can be done in computer animated design. So when the manufacturer is designing a ride, they look at what the forces on the body would be. And our goal is to make rides for the masses. So we want the most people to be able to experience our rides as possible. And this particular ride, Valraven, is the manufacturer, Bolliger & Mabillard, they're from Switzerland. They make extremely smooth roller coasters. They are the Rolls-Royce, basically, of the amusement park industry. They're reliable. They're smooth. They're very comfortable. And, you know, you're not going to get off this thing and go, wow, that was just way too intense for me. I think it's just going to be one of those experiences that you ride it and you go, wow, I'm not going to do that again, but it was pretty amazing. And some people will be like, I want to ride that over and over again. And luckily, because they've you know, designed these things this way, you can ride it over and over again and feel okay. Now, the Tilt-A-Whirl, that's been along for a while, and you know, if you eat before that, I can't promise that you'll feel good after that. But
right.
You know, that's an amusement park staple that typically gets people's stomachs turning. But for the most part, we work with the manufacturer to make sure that they're comfortable for everybody to ride.
Yeah. So, do you speaking of which, like people riding over and over, Tony, when folks come in, you're going to have people from all over the world coming for this roller coaster. Are you going to have those people that just get in a loop, that just want to see how many times they can ride it the first day?
We probably will, and we already have that, actually. A few of our rides have diehard fans, and they come to the park, you know, with their Platinum Pass, and they ride the same ride all day just because they love it so much. And so this ride will definitely have its fans. My favorite ride at the park is Millennium Force. I don't know what this one will do for my standings in the park, but it will be highly ranked, I'm sure, and I would not mind riding it over and over again.
What is the feasibility mathematically of being able to ride that ride over and over and over again, though, with the fact that there are other people standing in line?
Well, you know, with this ride, with any new ride we open, there's going to be a wait. So, you know, we don't really know how long that's going to be because, you know, during our testing, we kind of figure out how long it takes to send a train and how many seconds there are between those dispatches. So once we figure that out, you know, it could be an hour on some days. It could be an hour and a half. I would anticipate that it'll be pretty long in the early part of the season, but you could probably ride it, I would say, 5 to 6 times a day if you really wanted to. And that's a more popular ride. So,
The other changes that you made, the log ride, did you guys tear that one down? Or?
Well, the Shoot the Rapids ride is the one the one that we removed. And we did that for a couple reasons. And we listened to our guests. Sometimes people wonder why we do the things we do, why we move things, why we take things out or build things.
Mm-hmm.
We listen to our guests. They tell us what they like and what they don't like. And we use that feedback to shape our future. So that was one of those rides that didn't get a lot of ridership. Guests didn't say it was one of their favorites. And so we have better plans for that area. So we decided that we will remove the ride and you will see changes there, but obviously I can't tell you what those are.
Nah.
I'll be fired. you know, we always do things for a reason here at Cedar Point. So if we remove your favorite attraction or we build something that you don't like this year, it's okay because we've listened to all kinds of people and all of our guests, and we strive to have a good variety of different things for the entire family to do.
What are the new model Dodgem cars, though? Are they modeled after any actual cars?
Oh, so those are cool. So, yeah, we're remodeling. We are removing the old Dodgem car vehicles. The Dodgem ride will stay, but the new ones are made in Italy. They're fancy. They fit 2 adults.
Yeah,
they'll bump each other. You can still drive terribly. That's the point. But it was time for an upgrade, so we're keeping a classic ride around, but we're also giving it a modern twist and a modern equipment to go along with it, so it's more reliable.
Are you going to test those out on the Ohio Turnpike?
You can't really do that on the turnpike. Actually, you could do that when it snows on your own if you want. But no, those have to be on that ride because they are powered by the electricity above.
I know it'd be fun though, wouldn't it?
It would be fun, and I would love to try something like that, but they won't let us take these things off of our property. So
shoot. Okay, any new food sensations that you're excited about?
There's a couple new things we're doing. We're going to debut some custom created things that are directly related to Valraven. So there's going to be some Valraven themed food items. Those are in production and development right now. But elsewhere in the park, at the front of the park, we're debuting the new Coca-Cola Oasis. And that's the first place where you can get your refillable souvenir drink bottle and check out all the freestyle beverages that are available. Valraven is rumored to also have its own beverage flavor, so that'll be neat. You can try that out here at Cedar Point. And then in the back of the park, we are opening the Frontier Inn, which is going to be a chicken restaurant, and that is where we are going to produce hand-breaded chicken tenders, chicken fingers, chicken sandwiches, salads, tater tots, and people love chicken for some reason. It's one of those things that everybody loves at the park. Chicken tenders are huge here, and so these are going to be unique in that they're hand-breaded, and they are going to just be delicious. And so that's in the back of the park by Maverick. Those are the two biggies that we're really changing inside this year.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, Tony Clark from Cedar Point.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for
good work
me.
Out there.
All right. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye. Well, there he goes.
He has a little tone. Possibly a robot. Ooh. Maybe an automaton created by Cedar Point.
It's kind of cool that they use the housing during the off season, though.
They don't do it anymore. They did it a couple of years in a row. But apparently we partied too much.
And you destroyed the place.
They booted everybody out for good. So what else is going on? We have that Garden City massage parlor that got raided. And they were all over the sort of social, on the down low media,
right,
boasting about having, young Asian women and full body massage. And, of course, feds are pretty hip to what that means, although they just have to. They have to get around to it because there's a lot of those places in, East Side, West Side, Orchard Lake. They've got a lot of these operating, and it turned out that these young women were Chinese nationals, and they were living in the store, just like Better Call Saul, like Jimmy McGill. They arrested them, two women accused of offering the inappropriate sexual services, so there was an undercover cop in there. But Garden City's like, hey, we don't need that kind of stuff. So the person who owned it actually claimed not to speak English, first of all, when the police called, and lived in Ohio, and claimed that they just, I know nothing of illegal activity in my massage parlor. But,
I know nothing.
They were all on expired visas as well.
So, wow.
Garden City, wasn't that our CSX City of the Week last week?
Yeah, they weren't. I don't know if they were on the list.
Standing their ground.
Probably
I don't think anyone thanked them.
Joel and promotion. Joel's like, I'll go by there if you need me to.
So this is, the debate, of course, was last night, and it was quite the circus, the roundtable of insults going back and forth, a little sort of a squabble, the dust up. Here's just 8 seconds of it.
Given my answer, Lion Ted, I've given my answer.
Well, let's hear Big Dog. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, little Marco.
Lion Ted.
And he points out how Mitt Romney is a failed candidate twice and should have won that election against Obama and didn't, and Mitt predicted that would be coming at him. So when he gave his speech yesterday afternoon, it came out yesterday afternoon, he goes, oh, I know he's going to come out and he's going to hit me hard. So there's just, the gloves are completely off, and it's just bare knuckle brawling, and in the most down low way possible, as a matter of fact, making reference to Donald Trump's junk.
Yes.
That whole Rubio.
And Trump, when the thing started, Trump, I thought, was taking the high ground. He actually talked about policy. He did. And then Rubio made the comment about, I'm glad that we're going to have a debate about the issues and not about things. And then he started zinging Trump. So you're going, you just set Donald up, and then it was game on. But for like the first 5 minutes, I was equating it to like when you go to a family dinner where you have two family members really don't like each other, but they're trying to be civil, but they could only last a couple of minutes before, something the same, that whatever it is that sets them off comes up. And that's what happened. But Rubio picked that fight last night, and so did Fox News. They were not going to let Donald Trump have a debate and not bring up some of the stuff. Every question they had was geared towards him.
He seemed to sort of be perturbed by some of it, and they brought up the KKK thing one more time. But,
exactly. He's addressed it.
He appears to sort of weather it all. Yeah. I'm sure that contentious situations are just his just regular bread and butter. So here's a little bit of the to Trump and Rubio.
I have a policy question for you,
yes,
sir.
Let's see if he answers it.
I
will. Don't worry about it, Mark. Don't worry about it, little Marco. I will.
All right. Well, let's hear Big Dog.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, little Marco.
Gentlemen.
But he really didn't have to come. I'm a visual person. I think I've said that a bunch of times. And so anybody says something, and it unbiddingly comes into my head. And him talking about his junk was like, ah, Christ.
Right.
Yeah, I can't unsee that in my head now. You could have just said, hey, I'm not going to dignify that with a response, and people would have still been on your side. But whatever, I'm not going to nitpick Donald. He has a way.
Was that a booger in Ted Cruz's mouth last night?
Yeah,
he had one hanging there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things that you were just talking about, the visual things. Like, I can't get that out of my mind. It's just sitting there. He had a booger.
The Erin Andrews issue of privacy. Now, there were a lot of people who wouldn't maybe say this out loud, but they were kind of like, $75 million, and maybe she tried to do that for publicity, and we're crap-talking her pretty harshly. And I didn't have a ton of sympathy for all the crying until I heard about the executive from the hotel chain, and it's not called Marriott. It's a different hotel chain.
Right.
But Marriott is part of them.
Westin or something like that, yeah.
Still, they were sitting out at a restaurant, a couple of executives and part of the company, and someone put it on their phone, the Erin Andrews nude tapes, her standing in front of that mirror talking about her body, and they were talking about her body, too, openly in this public area, and a waitress popped up in the middle of that unfortunate conversation. Fortunate for her, though, because F them then.
Exactly.
The $75 million, fork it over. And that's one of the things he said. Well, if I'm going to pay $75 million, I better see it. So that kind of attitude, I think, earned him.
And ESPN has got a free pass in this thing for when she said that they made her do an interview about it before they let her back on the air. I'm really surprised that ESPN hasn't gotten hammered harder for that. That's insane to me that you're going to make her talk about it. Whether you intimate it or not, even if they kind of said, "We want you on the air, but we really need you to do this before we're going to put you back on air."
Well, not necessarily the first time television has done that kind of thing during some sort of sweeps or to kind of take advantage of whatever reporters are going through. If there's some sort of, for instance,
Roberts. I mean, GMA. All the issues.
Locally,
there was
some woman who had a stalker. Sure. And I swear to God, every May and every February during sweeps week, she would talk about her stalker. So. That kind of thing, it's not strange to the media. It's sort of that whole, we have to let you get that out to the public and hope that people like it enough so that they tune in.
Yeah. Well, ESPN's kind of jacking people around the past couple of weeks.
Brandi Chastain, too, staying in sports, is donating her brain to science. She's the first female athlete to do that, who's, played soccer and has many a head injury from time after time of using her head basically to move the ball down the field. And there, of course, the concussion as a disease model for athletes like football players and even hockey players. And in this case, soccer players.
Well, she was proposing what? No headers until you're 14 in youth soccer, trying to just eliminate that whole move. Because nothing good happens half the time.
Honestly, you shouldn't your head should not crash into things anyway.
Right.
I know that's unrealistic for sports. And same thing with football. Tackling is dangerous and causes injury, and people get paid a lot to take those injuries and those tackles. But still, then you end up with all these people who later on are brain dead.
Well, that was like, if you watch the Premier League, it's like the big English soccer league. Well, it's all Europe, but it's on Saturday mornings. And I was watching a couple weeks ago. And this guy, centering pass and right in front of the goal, he went up for a header, and him and the goalie went head-to-head. And the soccer people, for all the jokes about the little spray bottle and they wipe a sponge on you and you're magically better, this dude was unconscious, got up, and they just walked him over to the sideline for a second, and he was right back out there. And he had a massive freaking concussion. But it was, if you have kids playing soccer, watch them, because you will get your bell rung playing that game.
Well, we're talking about brain damage, too. Flint's latest insult and injury is that the governor has hired lawyers, both civil and criminal, and we get to pay for them. The taxpayers get to foot that bill. He brought it in just under $250,000 because after that point, the state has to sign off on it. So he skillfully... They said, the governor's spokespeople said, it's because he needed to get people, representing him right away. But, you don't want to sort of mess around, I guess, with other members of state government approving your lawyers.
Yeah.
Possibly kind of an icky situation. He seems to like to avoid all icky situations.
It took him over an hour to bring up Flint last night, by the way. Someone timed it 68 minutes during the debate before it was mentioned. Which seemed weird to me. I'm like, okay, you're in Michigan. It's one of the biggest national stories, and it took you over an hour to bring it up. Maybe it's because the candidates were so busy comparing each other's junk. So
I don't know. But yeah. I do wonder if people in Flint feel like they can get screwed any other way, because if they pay their taxes, then they're in part paying for Governor Snyder to defend himself against them blaming him for putting poison in their water. That's and good. Then sending them the bill for it.
Thanks. That's Rick.
There is progress, though. Oh, some private entity did begin the groundbreaking for the very first lead pipe removal in Flint. So, wow.
And it's what? Yeah, only, March.
Only
it's
private
March.
Money could get that done.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And it's the 139th birthday of the microphone invented by Emil Berliner. He worked for Alexander Graham Bell. They were saying that Graham Bell's industry was teetering on the sort of on the verge of bankruptcy when this all happened. And the microphone, you know, did what it took to put the telephone into its sort of modern form so that people could actually, they didn't have to have the little,
yeah, the little mouthpiece
horn
thing
and the ear thing.
That was
somehow that all like came together. And of course, we are the beneficiaries of it as well. So thank you.
There you go.
Emil Berliner, and happy birthday, microphone, and happy birthday, M&M's are 75.